Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Monday morning. It's October 27th. Currently 35 degrees and cloudy here in Old Town Park City. Heber City reporting mostly cloudy skies and a high of 40. And currently 42. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, meteorologist Cedric Haynes. Good morning.
Happy Monday, KPCW listeners. We're waking up to some scattered rain and snow showers out there, and that will be the case as we go throughout the morning time hours. In Park City, we're looking at high temperatures around 40 degrees or so, with the Heber Valley maybe getting into the upper 40s this afternoon. Either way, it's going to be a chilly day with clouds during the morning and some rain and even some snow showers passing through. Once you get above about 7,500 feet, we're likely looking at the potential of even some snow accumulations expected, maybe a light accumulation even around the Park City area this afternoon. Otherwise, as we go into tonight, it's going to clear out. It's going to get quite cold out there, folks. We're looking at overnight low temperatures dipping down into the teens in the Heber Valley, with overnight low temperatures dipping down to right around 20 degrees in Park City. High temperatures as we go throughout your Tuesday, improving a little bit as we see those highs in the mid-40s. We'll see those highs climbing to around 50 in the Heber Valley. As we get into your Wednesday, we stay with the cold temperatures. We start off in the 20s again for us Wednesday morning in both Park City and the Heber Valley, and we see those high temperatures getting back into the mid to upper 50s in Park City. We'll see those highs in the low 60s in the Heber Valley. This is all due to high pressure that will be building in across the area. We stay with that sunshine for your Thursday with highs in the mid 50s in Park City, and highs will be in the low 60s in the Heber Valley. The sunshine will stick around on Friday as well, as we start off with temperatures again below freezing all week, and we'll see those highs only climbing into the mid 50s in Park City, with highs near 64s in the Heber Valley. As we get towards the upcoming weekend, a weak disturbance may give us a few clouds on Saturday, so we'll call it partly cloudy skies. Temperatures starting off around freezing Saturday morning, with highs in the upper 50s in Park City on Saturday. Highs will be in the low 60s for us as we get towards the Heber Valley. As we move towards your Sunday, look for temperatures to start to warm up a little bit more, with highs around the low 60s for us in Park City and highs in the mid 60s as we get towards your Sunday afternoon for the overall. We're looking at a warming trend by the weekend. Let's look at your latest forecast for the Wasatch Back. I'm ABC 4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
Stay tuned. Coming up, I'll be checking in with Park City Senior Youth Services Librarian Katrina Kamak with details on Thursday's haunted house, which will provide community resources and tools for youth, drug, and alcohol prevention, as well as a number of other upcoming events at the library. Park City Chamber Bureau Senior Director of Partner Services Scott Halston with the monthly update from the Chamber, and Meals on Wheels Board Member Claudia McMullen, Eileen Mullane, and Deputy Director Jimmy Goulding with details on the nonprofit's funding crisis. Taking a look at some local news now. A supplemental nutrition assistance program known as SNAP payments will not be issued in November due to the federal government shutdown. KPCW's Christine Weller reports that a Heber City food pantry is already seeing an increased demand.
At the Christian Center of Park City's Heber Valley Food Bank, a handful of locals collected food basics Friday morning. They stacked their carts with fresh produce, canned foods, and frozen meat. Nearby, a group of volunteers from Soldier Hollow Charter School spooned flour into small plastic bags, rationing the supply so it will last longer. Manager Valeria Cruz said the pantry has been seeing more and more people throughout the year, especially seniors, people with disabilities, and single moms. These days, around 2,400 people visit each month. She said most do not receive support through SNAP.
One of the misconceptions that we see is that people believe that illegal immigrants qualify for it, but they don't. And that's where we come in and make sure that everybody's receiving the help that they need.
But that's starting to change. Due to the government shutdown, the Utah Department of Workforce Services said Wednesday payments to the federally funded program cannot be issued. The State Department said even accounts with money in them may not work after November 1st. Cruz said she's already had three people sign up for the pantry whose SNAP accounts were emptied.
They had no idea, right, until this week that that was going to be the case. And so some are being surprised by not having a ledger on their card, and they were thinking, I'm budgeting, I'm doing the right things, and now there's nothing there.
One of those who signed up was a mom with two kids. She and her partner both work full-time, but Cruz said they can't afford rent along with food necessities, so they were using SNAP.
Her sentiment was, like, devastation. She kept venting about how frustrating that was and how grateful she was that we were here.
Wasatch County locals can visit twice a month to fill their carts. But there are limits on hard-to-come-by items like flour and sugar. There's also a fridge of sandwiches and other lunches locals can take each day between 3 and 4 p.m., no questions asked. Cruz isn't sure how many more people will sign up to attend the pantry with snap cuts, but she's worried there won't be enough food for everyone. Only a few people sign up each week, but with 3 in one day even before the disruptions are in effect, Cruz is expecting a lot more. The Christian Center's pantry in Park City is expecting an influx as well. It already sees a couple hundred more monthly visitors than the Heber location. Cruz said there's a misconception that with Park City being a ski town, there are only wealthy people, but there are many people in Park City and Summit County who need help covering basic needs. Director of Programs Eli Shackelford said Christian Center pantries will see about a 30 to 40% increase in monthly visitors who had SNAP money. That's about 1,500 to 2,000 more people per month. Cruz said the demand on their pantries is exacerbated by others in the area limiting hours or closing. Community Action Services and Food Bank's Heber location has cut its operations to 2 days a week, and the Oakley and Colville locations are only open once a week. In nearby Utah County, 4 of 6 food banks have closed. State officials have said about 86,000 Utahns rely on monthly SNAP payments, which should resume once the federal government reopens. If she could speak to Congress, Cruz said she'd ask them to pass a funding bill as soon as possible so the most vulnerable Americans won't suffer.
The American people shouldn't suffer because you can't come to an agreement. As an immigrant myself, that is not the America I know.
In the meantime, Cruz plans to call for community support. She said locals are already donating food and cash, as well as volunteering.
We have seen it happen before in stressful situations that were like this back in the pandemic, and it was the community support that got us running. We didn't close a day.
Those who need help finding food resources can call 211 to find out more about food pantries and meal sites. 211utah.org has food pantry locations by geography, and uah.org has emergency food resources. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Well, the Park City Library has a haunted house plan for this week, as well as a number of ongoing events coming up in the studio. With details, I have Senior Youth Services Librarian Katrina Kamak. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's start with the haunted house, since it is the week of Halloween. when and where is it happening?
So that is happening this Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Park City Library. We're so excited. We'll be partnering with the local Elks Club and Summit County Health Department to drop some knowledge for folks on youth drug and alcohol prevention.
Yeah, and so I was like, why the Elks? How is this all involved?
Well, it happened very organically. Jim Osselier from the Elks Club had reached out to me, and the Elks nationwide have curriculum and services for drug and alcohol prevention. So that's like a national movement they have. And I sit on a... my coffee is not kicked in yet. I sit on with Summit County Health Department. They have a youth prevention coalition that I sit on, and have sat on that for about a year. And Jim reached out to me, and I'm like, wait a minute, I can connect some dots here. So we're going to be doing a little craft that has some spell books that have drug and alcohol prevention tips for kiddos, and then one for adults, and some information. Elks will be handing out some swag. We'll of course have candy, and we just thought we have a large number of folks who come to the haunted house anyway with young kiddos, and it's never too early to start talking about it.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the haunted house. Where does this get built up?
Oh, so we totally transformed the community room upstairs on the third floor. We have some old art rails that we use and decorate, black lights, inflatable things, all sorts of stuff. It doesn't take 20 minutes to go through. It's kind of quick, but it's very fun, and it's something to get the kiddos in the spirit and wear those costumes again.
Okay, so what do you think in terms of ages it's geared toward?
Yeah, we have had ages up to like third grade or so. We do also have little flashlights for the tinier kiddos who might be a little scared, but super fun. And then we also have, shout out to our National Honor Society kiddos and Junior National Honor Society kiddos who assist with us and volunteer and help us set up, tear down, and do all the stuff. So it's really wonderful to see so many different ages coming together.
Okay, yeah, sounds like fun. So we've got a ton of programming happening in November, but let's just talk a little bit about some of those ongoing programs that you've got going on first.
Yeah.
Every Monday at noon, the New Chapter Book Club. This is for...
Next Chapter Book Club is for adults with disabilities. We have a contingent of folks from Lucky Ones and other people from throughout the community. Riley Broach, our adult services librarian, does that. And they'll read books together, talk about the books that they're reading. It's wonderful, and they're just always so happy to be there. Some of them volunteer beforehand. It's awesome.
Okay, so is there a list somewhere that people can kind of catch up with what book's getting read? Or?
I think if you reach out to Riley, she'll be able to do that. I think it kind of depends on who's coming. They try to have them pick out the books so everyone's interested and stuff, so keeping it relevant. But Riley Broach is wonderful. You can email her. You can give the library a call. We can connect you.
Okay. And then you also have every Monday, 3 o'clock, the Babies and Me program. That's something you run?
Yes, I do. We do baby laps at, excuse me, and anywhere from birth to about, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, like I say, for my programs with kiddos, I don't card. So, you know, if you have a young one, an older one, if you're just getting out of the house, feel free to come in. We try to make it work for all ages. But I'm really focusing on why it's so important to read to babies. It takes about 30 minutes, and then we have a free play with age-appropriate toys for about 30 minutes after. So it takes up about an hour.
Yeah. Well, and I know there's lots of research out there, but it does make a difference when parents read to children.
100%. You know, just exposing them to all that vocabulary when they're reading. You know, when they're super tiny, you know, I remember with our son, and I used to be like, yeah, yeah, reading's great. I'm a librarian. I know this. And now our six-year-old has, like, this intense vocabulary, and he's reading, like, at a very high grade level. It's I didn't even realize how much the evidence works, you know? So by the age of one, we just want kiddos to know what a book is. Like, this is how it works. There's a cover. There's pages. You turn them. You know, and just exposing them to the vocabulary. All and also singing is so important to those kiddos because it breaks down the words into syllable sounds, which is also why a lot of picture books have that great cadence or rhythm to them, and you can sing them anyway. You know, it just helps their brains break down the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And learn to rap, too.
Exactly.
You also do an English-Spanish conservation club on Monday evenings. This is for 14 and above.
Yes. So we have this Flor Santa Maria, our Spanish services librarian, organizes this. Very relaxed situation. We have some folks who are learning English. We have some folks who are working on their Spanish skills as well. And it's just a great way to, one, meet people, connect with other folks in the community, and practice some of those skills in a safe way.
Yeah, and I think it's people can learn a language, but it becomes so formal. It's like when you really get to talk to somebody, that's where things happen.
Exactly, exactly. And just having that comfortability and confidence, it's a great place to build that up.
Yeah. Now, do you do the baby and me in the Spanish part, or do you have somebody else that takes that over?
Flor does that, and Flor is wonderful. She has lots of experience with the young kiddos. It's on Saturday, I was working with her, and this little tiny human just ran up to her. You know, it's just so wonderful. So she does our bilingual and Spanish story times and programs. She's a treasure.
All right. Also on Mondays, and I don't know if this was a one-time deal or just ongoing, the Making Moolah. This is for ages 5 to 12?
Yes. So we had received a grant from the American Library Association, and they had these prepackaged early financial literacy games and resources. So we're offering that. We've done a couple throughout the past year, and it's about, you know, financial literacy, saving money, spending money. What are the benefits of maybe spending a little more, you know, or saving some more? So it's just a great fun way for those kiddos to learn a little bit about money and how to be responsible.
Okay, and I believe that's today, 4 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You can never too soon, kids.
Never.
Also wanted to talk about this intro to guitar, which you have on Tuesday afternoons, 4:30 to 5:30. Bring a guitar and show up.
Yeah, and we even have instruments at the library that you can check out as well. We have a guitar. One of our library employees, Joe Oshnak, he's a shredder. You know, he is a great human and guitar player, and he teaches that. We've had young kiddos. We've had adults come in. Again, you know, it's not a super overwhelming experience. You can take things easy. He's just a wonderful teacher, and it's just a great place to kind of get things started for you.
All right. And then also for adults on Wednesday evenings, the mindfulness meditation practice, and this happens every Wednesday at 6, huh?
Yes. We partner with Mindful Summit County. I believe Randy Joe typically teaches it. I always want to go, but then I have to pick up my child, and then the evening starts. But it's just so wonderful, a time and place where you can come in, reset in the middle of the week, you know, get some good intentions going, and also Mindfulness Summit County has so many offerings that they have, and they're just wonderful.
Okay. And that's just show up a few minutes early and
100%. You're
ready to meditate.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about some of the special events that you've got coming up in November. This is Write a Letter to a Veteran as well as a Candy Drive for Active Military Members. This is happening November 1st through the 11th.
Yeah.
What's this about?
So we all know how much we love when we're all totally hyped up on sugar. So we have, we'll have a big, huge rain barrel bucket that you can put some candy in, and we ship that off to military members. And then when you walk into the library underneath the stairs going up to the second floor, we'll often have activities or crafts, or we right now have an ofrenda there. And you can write a letter to a veteran thanking them for what they do. We drop those off in Salt Lake. Just something to fill somebody else's bucket up, you know, thank them for their service, do a little something, give them some candy, and thank them for all the things they do for our country.
Okay. And then coming up November 8th, a couple of things happening, a writing group and then Ola Frida.
Yes. So we have our writing group. We've done this a couple of times. One of our staff, Danielle, she's wonderful. And she does a little writing group. Again, we've had a variety of ages. We just ask that you bring some stuff printed out and talk about some ways you can improve or challenge yourself to get some more skills in your writing, get a little more confident and comfortable, and then also looking at other people's writing that come and showing them how they can improve and having a conversation.
All right, so bring something that you're working on, and then just it's kind of like a club or a group.
100%, little workshopping situation.
Okay, and then what's the Ola Frida?
Ola Frida, we've partnered with Park City Film for a very, very long time. They're such wonderful partners, and they we offer each month, on, I believe it's the second Saturday of the month at 4 p.m. One month we'll do an English movie geared towards our youth, and then the next month we'll do a movie in Spanish. So Ola Frida will be screened in Spanish for our friends. And it's a, I've heard it's an awesome movie about Frida Kahlo and, you know, her experience and growing up and all her artwork and all the things.
All right. And then you've also got coming up the November 14th through the 16th, a toy swap. What's this about?
We've done this for a number of years, and it's just so fun. I really just wanted to anti-hoard toys and clean out our house, so I brought a bunch of toys. And especially when those kiddos are younger, like 3 and under, they'll play with them, they'll lose interest. So feel free, bring some toys, bring some puzzles, all that kind of stuff. You can bring it. You can take stuff. You don't need to bring things to take things. And then we have it all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday while we're open. One of our meeting rooms is open. Come in at your leisure, and then we donate the rest of the items for those in need.
Yeah, what a great way to get things used.
Yeah, exactly, and out of the landfill.
Okay, and also this is so cute, a stuffed animal sleepover.
Yes, we have done this for quite some time. Stuffed animals, please do not drop off your children. I love them, but please, but you can drop off their favorite stuffies that they have slobbered on and all the things. I don't mind. My immune system's great. And they spend the night at the library. They get into all sorts of stuff. It's so fun to see what kind of technology they might get into, what things they might be reading at the library. Super fun. There's pictures taken, and then the next morning we show a slideshow, share out those photos, and the kiddos get to reunite with their stuffies.
Okay. So they drop them off, they sleep over.
Yep.
At the library, and then the kids come pick them up again.
Uh-huh. And it's just so fun. It's just a fun little thing to do, and it's fun to be sneaky and see how those, you know, stuffed animals will use the binoculars or some of our hiking materials or that solar shower that you can check out for camping.
Okay, and this is another film program. It's the Crochet or Knit at the Movies.
Yes!
It's happening Tuesday, November 18th at 5 p.m.
Yes, it's so fun. We did the first one this past year, and people can just come craft. We have the lights on low. You can just watch a classic movie, get cozy, and just work on a project while a movie is playing. It's so fun. Me and I'm a happy hooker myself. I do love to crochet and or puzzle. But, you know, we joke that, I don't even know what these characters look like until I look up and see what's happening on the movie. So it's just kind of a fun thing to get people excited about and a place to be with other like-minded people who have the same interests.
Okay. And do you know what film's going to be shown?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but they're usually classic movies.
Okay. Finally, I wanted to mention that throughout the month of November, the library will be doing a food drive.
Yes.
We used to do this for in lieu of a fee, but we don't have fees anymore, but we kept the food drive going.
100%. Yep. We used to do food for fines, and then we're like, fines, those are kind of lame, so let's get rid of those. But we're still doing a food drive for Christian Center of Park City. Last year, I think we had 2 carloads of stuff to take over there, which we were just stoked about. They're always looking for stuff, but specifically canned tuna and chicken, peanut butter, macaroni and cheese, individual servings of fruit, cooking oil, spices, and canned soup. So, yeah, it's just wonderful to see how the community can rally around our wonderful nonprofits in town and help others out.
Yeah, and as we heard with the government shutdown, that may be even more of a dire need.
100%.
All right, anything else?
Thanks so much for having us, everyone. Feel free to stop in the library. Come get a library card. Every kiddo, student, and educator in town gets a free library card, and we're just so thankful to serve our community.
Okay, parkcitylibrary.org.
Yep. Thank you kindly.
All right. Katrina Kamak, again, is the Youth Services Librarian at Park City Library. Well, in the studio now with an update from the Park City Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau, Senior Director of Partner Services, Scott House. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Leslie.
Let's start, as we always do, with the lodging data. How do things look?
Yeah, so if we go back to September, we were up 9.5% or 41.7 compared to last year. ADR was up a slight bit, so that's our average daily rate at 0.2%. As we shifted into October, we were up 3% for lodging. So that's at 29.7% compared to last year. And again, slight uptick in ADR, so 0.7%. Over the past 6 months, lodging or occupancy was up 5.2%, and ADR was down about 3.1%. This is generally reflected across the lodging industry, where we're seeing rates shift down, occupancy kind of stay steady or go up, helping with those lower rates. And then as we kind of look to the next 6 months, currently what we're looking at is up about 7.3% at 26.8% occupancy compared to last year. And again, with ADR slightly down about 3.9%. And again, that's reflected across the lodging industry that we're seeing kind of in our competitive set and everywhere.
Okay. Is this where you use that Destrometrics for, to kind of look at different resort towns across the country?
And... Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Destrometrics is great for us because we can compare our competitive set. We don't actually get to see the names of who we're competing against, but it does help us understand where we're stacking up. And like I said, we are seeing that ADR across kind of our competitive set come down, which is helping to drive that occupancy.
Okay. And we know that people don't make advance reservations like they used to unless they're here for busy holiday season.
Exactly, right? And I think, you know, it's the waiting game with weather and snow and everything else going on. So we're feeling pretty good about where we're at heading into winter.
Okay. So all of that then translates into tax dollars. Let's have a look at what we're looking at is July.
Yeah, exactly, because those tax numbers are reported later. So when we look at that, local sales tax up about 2.2%. That's about a percentage point up for year to date. Restaurant tax up 5.3%. That's 2.7% up year to date. TRT was down 7.9%. Or if you look at that kind of for the yearly, that's down 7.7%. And recreation, arts, and parks is pretty flat. Just up a 0.9%. And so when you think about like TRT, again, that's that balance of occupancy and average daily rate that we have to pay attention to there.
Okay. Moving on, how is the We Rip program going?
Great. Yeah, we've got some landlords on board. There's already 2 leases signed. Again, the program was expanded this year in terms of its incentives. So in the past, you could just get that Rossignol package. And just as kind of a bad term, because it's really awesome that you could get a ski package for helping support our local workforce. But this year it was expanded. You could get a $300 Mountain Kind gift card. There's over 100 businesses that you could use that card at locally. And then Jans and Fish West came on board with a great Orvis or Sage fly fishing package. And so for those of us that I think are recreationalists at heart, maybe you don't need a new pair of skis every year, but you could use a new 4-weight fly rod as we head into the fall season.
Okay. Last year we saw 13 of these leases being signed. You're hoping for more this year?
Yeah, we're still hoping for more, and we do have, the window is still open, so there's plenty of time if you have, whether that's an accessory unit, a room in your home, or another actual apartment or property that you own and you're interested in leasing to our workforce, you can still check that out. You can go to housinghelp.org. That's the Mountain Lands Community Housing Trust website. There's a link on there for WERIP, and you can get through the application process there.
Okay, housinghelp.org. Okay, anything else that we need, people need to know about that?
No, I think the one cool thing about WERIP, it is so uniquely Park City as a way to tackle affordable housing or attainable housing in our community. Other communities have tried to do this, and it's a big bill when they try to do it. And we've just been really fortunate that we have great partners like Rosignol and JANS and Mountainlands Community Housing Trust that allow us to put together a program that provides great incentives and keeps our workforce living here locally, and not just providing for our economy, but really the culture of our town.
Okay. Coming up, I think it's next week already, is the 2025 Tourism Fall Forum.
That's correct. Yes, our mullet event. Business up front, party in the back.
Yeah. Okay, so that's set for Thursday, November 6th at Stein Erickson Lodge. People need to register for this.
Yes, we still do have some seats available for Tourism Fall Forum. This year's event is going to be another evolution. So over the last 3 years, we kind of evolved that event, trying to make sure it stays relevant and interesting for our attendees. And again, this year, we've switched up the programming. So you can still expect to get great economic updates. You'll hear from folks with the Utah Office of Tourism, Natalie Randall over there. You'll hear from Nathan Rafferty, our good friend Nato with Ski Utah, and what's going on there. But this year we're going to bring in Steve Halas from Blue Room Research. Blue Room does all the research for the Chamber, our economic research. So we're going to look back at the summer and fall with Steve. We'll get a forward look on some of those big macroeconomic indicators and what we might expect. And then this year, rather than our traditional resort panel, we're going to do a video update. We're going to drop it into part of our Town series. And we're really excited because rather than just talking about our resort partners, which are excellent, we're bringing in the arts, we're bringing in Main Street, we're bringing in our recreation partners like Basin Rec and Mountain Trails. So expect a much broader update about really what to get excited for in our community this winter. You're going to hear from different voices that you don't traditionally hear from in that video edit. So it should be a real nice change up from the traditional Fall Forum resort panel. And then at the end of the panel, Jen, our wonderful president and CEO, will give a marketing update so people know what to expect in terms of what's coming out of the chamber this year. And then we've got a great winter weather update that we're really excited for. As a weather and avalanche nerd myself, this is probably my most exciting piece of the day. But again, it's always fun to talk weather and make some speculations about what may or may not happen and start thinking about deep powder days and bright sunny winter days.
Okay. Do you recall how much the ticket price is?
Ticket price is $80 for an individual ticket, $800 for a table of 10. Great value includes lunch for the day. We've got some built-in networking time. Ski Utah is going to have some really cool activations going on. We'll have a great photo booth. So there is going to be some time at the end of the event this year for dedicated networking and conversation. And really, that's what this event is about, right? Bringing the community together, getting stoked on winter, getting ready for what's to come.
Okay. The day before is the Wasatch Back Business University. This month's topic will be taxes and financial efficiency. Is that having, because I know you split it between Park City and Heber City.
Exactly, yeah. So this session, we've tried to be more thoughtful about how we plan these, particularly around timing and topic. And so as we head into the end of the year, we wanted to make sure that we were giving our small businesses the opportunity to better understand their tax strategy. It's so important as a business to have a good tax strategy, to understand what you need to spend, where you need to spend it, what you need to pay or prepay. So we're hopeful that this session will help businesses, if it's not necessarily this year, but going forward, set up a sound tax strategy in preparation for tax season once we roll over that calendar year.
Okay. Again, it happens November 5th at the Blair Education Conference Center, 11:30 to 1. There is a cost now. It used to be free.
Yeah, we did. We do a $10 door charge now. Part of it is in an effort to reduce food waste, because we do provide lunches at these events and they are great lunches. It's a good time to come and get a good snack on us. But we were just seeing kind of an excess of food waste. We would get a lot of people to register and not a lot of people maybe would attend from time to time. And so we're trying to balance that out. And so a little bit of skin in the game. The $10 is great. The educational value is certainly there. As someone who's attended a lot of these, I can tell you the $10 is worth it. And the lunch is the bonus on top of the education.
Okay. Now, this is something, moving on to the Mountain Kind card. That's something I think you introduced, what, a year or two ago?
It was last year,
Last year. Okay. And maybe explain what this is and why we're doing this.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. This is one of the most exciting programs I think we've brought to the community as the Park City Chamber in recent years. The Mountain Kind card is a digital gift card. It's powered by a company called Yifty and MasterCard. So all fraud, all breakage, everything is covered by MasterCard. Credit card processing fees, the same as processing a MasterCard. It's just like accepting a MasterCard gift card. The cool thing is we put on the program, so we sponsor the Mountain Kind card, and only participating Park City Chamber partners are allowed to accept Mountain Kind cards. So when you purchase a Mountain Kind card, those dollars stay local in our community. The Chamber doesn't take any revenue from the program, so our local businesses receive 100% of the revenue minus credit card processing fees from those cards. And so not only is it a great revenue tool, in the first year alone, we generated $57,000 to be spent at local businesses. We're excited to increase that amount this year, but it's a great marketing tool too, because it puts you on the map, gets you a special section on our website, and it draws people in the door. And what's coming is we're gonna launch our Shop Mountain Kind campaign on November 17th. And during that period, when you buy a Mountain Kind card, you get a 50% bonus on the Chamber. So if you buy a $50 Mountain Kind card, you get 75. If you buy $100, you get 150. You buy 200, you get $300. So you get an extra card on us at 50% of the value of original purchase. You're only allowed one. But what we're really excited about is to get more businesses on board with this and our nonprofit community. And as a long timer here in Park City, one of the things that I've always loved about our community is the nonprofit support that we have here. And in my mind, why wouldn't you buy a $200 Mountain Kind card to gift to somebody for the holidays and take that $100 bonus and give it to your favorite nonprofit? Because it's free. It's free money that goes right back into our community. We know that over 50 cents of every dollar that's spent locally stays local. So this program for us is just a great economic development tool, great marketing tool, great community tool. And we engaged the PC Caps group at the high school this year. So again, just all sorts of community going into this program this year.
So explain it though. You do buy a $200 card. The $100 comes in another separate card?
Yeah, card separate. And this is cool. It's digitally delivered. So of course, Park City's Chamber, our big push for sustainability, right? We don't want to deliver plastic cards. It just get wasted. Plus, there's a lot of logistics that go into printing and mailing all those cards. So when you purchase a Mountain Kind card, it's delivered to your email address or a recipient of your choice's email address, and it can go right into your Apple or Google wallet. When you walk into a business, it is tap to pay compatible. So you just walk in, tap to pay, pay with your Mountain Kind card, the balance automatically updates, the business gets the revenue, and our community gets the benefit.
Okay, do the cards expire?
The bonus cards do. So if you, let's say you bought a $200 card and you got a $100 bonus, the $100 bonus card expires in 365 days. So you have a year to spend that $100. Your $200 card that you purchase does not expire. That expiration date just keeps rolling over and over. Because it is a digital card, we have the ability to do that.
Okay. And I think you mentioned there's 100 businesses that are registered?
Yeah, there's currently 100 businesses across the spectrum. So everything, recent partner, we just got the Elfingen Ski Museum on board, so you can go and have a great experience there with your family. Hill's Kitchen, Jan's White Pine Touring, and there's any number of businesses. We're working hopefully with Steve and the team at the Christian Center to get the Christian Center on board. Again, the goal with getting some of our nonprofits and service providers, dentists, doctors, things like that, mechanics on board is, I remember when I was a young employee in Park City, and if someone had given me a gift card to Shabu, I would have went. But if someone had given me a $50 gift card that I could choose the local business to support, or I could take my dog to the vet with, or I could go get my teeth cleaned with, it would have been much more valuable to me. So we're really hoping to expand that nonprofit and service provider network as a great way to support our workforce as well.
Okay, you did mention that there are credit card fees involved, but not upfront?
Yeah, so it's just like if you were to purchase a gift card at Costco or anywhere else, you pay like a purchasing fee. It's typically 3 to 5% plus a dollar. So the purchaser, you or I, for purchasing, we pay that. The processing fee is a MasterCard processing fee, and that's specific to the business. It's whatever they pay for processing MasterCard card transactions, but there is no revenue share from the chamber. So we don't take any money off the top. You receive 100% of that revenue. There's no mandatory discounting, so you don't have to discount products or anything of that. We want to protect your brand. We just want to put some extra dollars into your bank account as the Park City Chamber.
Okay. And what is it the PC Caps kids are doing for you?
Yeah. So we're working with two great students at PC Caps. It's really exciting. And again, how cool is it that as a community, we have the opportunity to help the youth, get acclimated to business and the challenges that can be there. So they're helping us with outreach twofold. First, we task them with, hey, you come up with a list of 50 businesses each that you would love to see on this card network, and you do the outreach. You help us get them on board. We're just wrapping up that phase. We've got businesses coming on board, again, nonprofits. The next phase is outreach to our community. What we're hoping they can help us do is really get people in the community to see the card as a great tool for Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, anything that you can think of. For someone who has everything, the Mountain Kind card is the perfect gift, right? And so they're going to start now on the outreach side to our community. And the cool thing is it's not only local residents and visitors purchasing the cards. This is a great incentive tool for you as a business. So, you know, when we think about our larger employers and providing incentives for your staff, the Mountain Kind card is a great way to keep those dollars circulating locally, right? So rather than giving staff an Amex gift card or a Visa gift card, you give them a Mountain Kind card and those dollars stay in your community. They're going to local restaurants. They're going to local businesses. And ultimately, it makes our staff even better, right? Because they're so aware of our community, they get to experience it.
Okay. And finally, two ribbon cuttings this week.
Two ribbon cuttings this week. Let us not forget Chomp Donuts. We're getting a donut shop in Park City and a craft donut shop. These guys are going to make a great product. They offer custom products, so you can talk to the owners over there. Maybe you need a custom product for an event you're doing. They're willing to do that. So Chomp Donuts, October 29th, 10 a.m. That's at 1612 Ute Boulevard, just in time for winter seasons. Come get a cup of coffee. Come get donuts. This is going to be great. On your way to the resort, on your way home from the resort, donuts go good with anything or anytime.
Okay, and then the second one on Thursday?
Yeah, so Thursday, October 30th is Avanto. This is a Nordic-style contrast therapy. So contrast therapy, think sauna, right? Heat, and then cold plunge. There are very clearly defined and data-supported health benefits to contrast therapy. And so it's great to see a wellness business like this come into Park City. Again, October 30th, 10 a.m., really in that same area as Chomp. So out at Kimball Junction area, Ute Boulevard, but 108B is the unit. So just a little bit different location there. But contrast therapy, great for recovery, great for helping to improve your health and wellness overall. And so again, quick stop in the morning or quick stop in the afternoon on the way in or out of town, whether it's part of a regular exercise team or whether it's just part of your overall health and wellness program, another great business here that we're welcoming to Park City.
Okay, and I'll just throw that date out. Save the date, December 10th. That's when we do our Mountain Kind morning.
Yes.
Free cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Free cup of coffee. And again, lots of coffee shops coming on board all the way from Colville into Park City, Kimball Junction. And so really wherever you are on the Wasatch back, you can come and get a free cup of coffee on us for Mountain Kind Morning.
Okay. Hey, Scott, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Have a great day.
You too. Scott House, again, is the Senior Director of Partner Services at the Park City Chamber Bureau. Well, the Wasatch Back Meals on Wheels program is facing a funding crisis while the number of people on the waiting list continues to grow. In the studio with details about the program and how people can help ensure that our elderly have a hot meal now and then, I have board members Claudia McMullen and Eileen Mullane, along with Deputy Director Jimmy Golding. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
Good to be here.
Jimmy, let's start with you. Maybe you can just give us an overview of the Wasatch Back Meals on Wheels program. I mean, who do you serve? How many meals do you provide? What area do you cover?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us, first of all. We really appreciate being here. So we provide meals in Utah, Wasatch, and Summit counties. for our Meals on Wheels organization. And we have the opportunity to provide meals at the senior center as well as people in their homes. And the reality is right now is we have a lot of people who have this need, and the population is growing, and we have more homebound senior citizens who are looking for that nutrition, but also for that connection. You know, we have these volunteers who go out and deliver meals to these people's homes, and they get that opportunity every week to go in and build that connection with them. And that's actually really, really important because it provides them not only that opportunity to be connected to the community and receive that nutritious meal, but also because they get the chance to see somebody and say, hello, you know, it's so good to see you. And that is so vital. You know, being able to build that connectivity with another person.
All right. So how many meals get served every week?
Yeah, no, thank you so much. So I'm going to give you a kind of holistic view. So we served 118,000 meals last year, right? And that's actually quite a bit, right? Now, between the homebound and at the senior centers, we do roughly about 100 to 150 meals a day. Which again, that's right here in this local community. And we also do similar in Wasatch County and then Utah counties a bit more. But the idea here is that these people can, again, either come to the senior center or to, you know, they're in their home and get that nutrition that they need.
Yeah. So, Claudia, you had told me that the program facing a significant funding gap. How large is that gap and what caused it?
Our charge as the board is to raise $900,000 to fund the gap. What causes it is the aging population is growing in all three counties, for sure. There's now more pressure because of the cuts to the SNAP benefits. We expect our wait list to grow as a result of this food need and food insecurity that people now have.
So is that gap is growing? It's increased from last year then even, huh?
Yes, we expect it to continue to increase given the nature of what's happening right now.
So why is that? I mean, is it just everything else? Food costs more?
Absolutely. Food costs more, aging population, people losing their jobs, food insecurity. And the thing that I want to really remind the audience here is, you know, we live in a really wealthy community, right? Park City is a very wealthy community. But Summit County has many people who use Meals on Wheels and continue to need to use Meals on Wheels, including in Park City proper, Snyderville Basin, East Side, North Summit, the whole shebang. And just because the community is wealthy doesn't mean we don't have people falling through the cracks who need food and need people who are isolated and don't have any human interaction other than Meals on Wheels.
Yeah. So there are requirements for people to receive a meal?
Yes, that's correct. So they have to be 60 years or older, and if they want to receive it in their home, they have to be homebound, which for us just means that they need help getting out of their home. They don't have to be, you know, completely stuck at home, but need some assistance.
Yeah. Are you able to take on more, though? I mean, given the gap?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So we are hitting our maximums right now of capacity, and the reality is that we're past that, right? Just like Claudia was talking about, the need is there. We already have people who have this need. And so the reason why we, you know, specifically are talking about donations and raising that $900,000 is to meet that growing need, right? And there are people, you know, right now that we know that are probably listening to this that need this service.
Yeah. Just worry about those that are falling through the cracks, that, you know, just not reaching out, that we need to get to them, because there is that wait list.
Yeah. I guess as a board member, Eileen, I mean, if the funding gap isn't closed, I mean, what are the direct consequences? Do you...
That wait list just grows. There are people that have been on that wait list for months. So we just have to do our job and raise some money, because nobody should be isolated and hungry.
And if we don't fill the gap, then people are going to go hungry. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
You basically just have to turn people away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, does it mean impact the current routes or the, you know, do you have fewer service days or?
So, I mean, we're not having that issue right now. We still service all the same days, but the reality is we just have to hold off on adding more people. Right, and so the current people will still get the same amount of service that they've received in the past, but we want to be able to service everybody. You know, can you imagine having this senior who has this need, and for months and months they're just waiting, right? You know, and the thing is that donations, you know, they provide the community a chance to build together, to serve these individuals together. They're part of our community. We are a whole.
It's a group.
Know.
It's a group advocacy that we
yes,
need to take
absolutely.
Care of our seniors. So, our messaging is to try to just push forward that there is a need, a desperate
well,
need.
Right. And this helps sustains a lifeline of care, right?
Yeah.
To make sure that these individuals are seen and their needs are being met.
So, I guess local organization or local residents, I guess, could make the biggest impact by a direct. Donation, or is it that you want help with volunteering, or?
Both would be great, you know, absolutely. I think the greater need right now, though, is the donation, right? Now, absolutely, if there are individuals out there who would love to volunteer, we would happily have them join our team.
And, you know, to the point of capacity, you were, you know, the question was, well, if you're maxed out now, how do you have enough? If you're maxed out of capacity, how are you going to service? Well, we're going to service by getting more volunteers and making more meals and driving more miles and making sure we take care of everybody who needs a meal, who's homebound, a nutritious meal, and companionship. That's really what we do. That's our charge. So we do what we have to do on our end to grow, to meet the need once we have the money to do so.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, I mean, how many meals would a senior receive every week? I mean, is it just once a week or?
So we do it daily, Monday through Friday. So they'll end up with five meals if that's what they want, right? There's some choice there too, right? So they don't have to get five meals, but the max would be five. And again, that would be handed to them every day. It's a hot meal, you know, and their nutrition, this is based specific off of this age demographic. Of what that nutrition is. So they are literally getting exactly what they need for their physical and health.
And in Summit County, the meals are cooked at the jail.
Yeah, so Summit County jailers are actually preparing the food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same in Utah County, by the way. We went and did a tour of the jail a couple years ago, and it was fascinating how many meals they bang out a day for the Meals on Wheels program. And now we do it in Summit County as well, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah, I think they get paid a little bit, but not much.
Yep, that's correct.
Probably correct, but yeah. That is not in our purview.
Yeah, that's more my purview. So it's really actually a wonderful program because it provides the individuals there an opportunity to serve and to learn some skills, but also helps us keep our costs low so that we can serve more meals to the individuals.
Okay, because you have the contract with the jail.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Got
yeah.
it. All right. And again, are there any particular funding sources? Of course, we have heard over and over about the federal cuts, but I mean, is it also any local or state cuts that you're also facing?
Yeah, so at the state level, we've pretty much stayed flat in our funding. Which is great, but there's also reality again that the demand is high. There's more people that need, you know, these meals, and so we're grateful for that funding, but we need more.
Yeah, the flat funding is, we had a greater need and asked for 100,000 more this year. We didn't get the 100,000. We got last year's number, which is insufficient, which is why the gap is increasing.
All right.
That and the federal.
Yeah. Exactly, because even we know inflation went up close to 3%.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Where could people find out more, I guess, if they want
yeah,
to help out?
Yeah, so you could go to our website. It's MOWSUW.org. That's Meals on Wheels, Summit, Utah, Wasatch. Right? That's what our title is. And again, I just want to say it again, MOWSUW.org. And again, they are always welcome to just Google us and search us, and they can find us. And we would love to talk to them. And that is in any capacity, right? If they have any question about Meals on Wheels, we would love to speak with them.
Okay.
And if people have need, please reach out, right?
Well, at least get your name on the list. Doesn't sound like you're going to be serviced right
away. That's right, but get your name on the list, and, you know, we'll do everything we can to raise the funds, to increase our capacity, to feed everybody in need.
Yeah. Money raised in Summit County, does it stay in Summit County?
It absolutely can. That is up to the donor. So if they want it to just go to the program general, you know, then we'll put it to where it is most needed. But if they want it to stay right here, we can absolutely do that.
Okay. I'm out of time. I need to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you.